Good. Already off to a strong start. I've got some new equipment, and it makes it more difficult to lean back in a chair. Hello, everybody. It's me, Hob the Troll, and I'm joined by my good friend Lickety Splickety.
Hello.
Yeah. So we've been busy doing our certain things. Yeah.
How vague.
Yeah, well, I haven't done a Hobcast in a while, and I'm just kind of keeping it open for people's imaginations. I mean, certainly they've heard a fellow who talks an awful lot like me on other podcasts talking about things. And you've also branched out into management.
I've only a little bit.
Only a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a tiny bit. I'm testing it out. Mm-hmm. See if it's something that would be interesting. It's probably, you know, not going to pan out into anything.
No?
No, I still have all of my eggs in the, I'm just hoping I get discovered and, you know, make it really big without having to do any real footwork.
Well, that's what we're all about here, mm-hmm. as you know. Now, those of you who are listening to this, everyone's a big Lickety fan.
That's news to me.
How is that news to you? People don't come up and mention me and mention your appearance on this show?
Not often, but to be fair, I don't really seem like I'm open to conversation much.
No, you're not. And talk into the mic. Come on, man.
Hello.
There it is. Yeah. Come on. Also, see, this is the other thing. We've had numerous appearances on television. Mm-hmm. We're on the news all the time. Mm-hmm. And who'd have thought it's for, you know, good things?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the neat things about this job is I end up on the news way more than I ever thought I would be, and mm-hmm. for completely different reasons.
Right. But it's usually, well, fortunately, it's usually at a, you know, convenient time for everyone.
Like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be for promotional purposes.
Right.
And there's a lot of trust there. That I am the face of this particular venue.
Mm-hmm.
Please go and represent us well with no preparation.
Well, I think the reason they ask you and they ask Tuggy and they ask me, and it's because we're really the face of the fairs. Mm-hmm. You know, that we represent a very wide spectrum of the level of handsomeness that appears at various Renaissance festivals throughout this great country of ours.
A lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And also other countries, because you were on, like, Good Morning Canada.
It was Good Morning Canada, yes, which is a very big deal, but in Canada.
Tell me about that.
It was some years ago now. I was doing the Renaissance Festival, Oxford Renaissance
Festival. I heard that burned down.
It's still going on.
Oh.
I don't do the show anymore.
Oh.
I don't know if that's in any way related to the Good Morning Canada appearance. I do know that, coincidentally, that we did the appearance and then we never came back. never asked back. But that was a lot of fun there, that we got to go into the studio and shenanigans in the studio.
You knew it was going to be like that when you went in?
No, I didn't know what to expect. I went in with James Robert Singleton and they had us change into our costumes in the dressing room.
Oh,
where other performers were also changing into their costumes, so putting on all the fancy mud gear,
mm-hmm.
and then came out into the studio, which is not a very comfortable place for a mud beggar. It's very sanitary in there. There are a lot of the up and down panning shots from the cameraman from the bare feet.
Yeah, they don't do that if they're interviewing Charlize Theron.
No. No.
Except to see her shoes.
Right. I'm used to being objectified at this point.
Right. Was James Robert Singleton used to it?
Mm. He was stellar in that particular. He really carried us.
Now, was there any craft services situation?
I don't. If there was, I don't think we were invited to participate.
Mm. See, because those are thing when we do videos when we're on the news, there's a couple of stations in the Tampa metropolitan area where they'll bring in those big old Dats donuts. You ever had one of those?
Mm-mm.
They're incredible. That's the reason to do it.
I mean, Dats Donuts.
Dats, D-A-T-Z. Well, no, it's Doze. D-O-U-G-H-Z. Or Z, since it's still talking about Canada. When you, so, and was that like right in middle of Toronto, or as they say it there, Trana?
Yeah, that was where the studio was.
Yes. Oh.
It was about an hour and a half drive from where the festival was, and it was, yeah, it was, it's every single time being on the news has been an exciting experience, because you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to be asked. There's because they do it constantly, there's no time to prepare. There's no, whenever there's a live thing, I'll say, can you tell me ahead of time what you're going to ask so I can have a well-crafted answer for you?
Just like we did with this episode.
Yes. they lie every time. I don't know if it's a purposeful, malicious act or what, but they say, "Oh, we'll ask you your name and the dates of the festival and stuff like that," and then they roll live, and then they ask completely unrelated questions that make no sense.
Right, questions that aren't related to what we do.
Yeah,
I get a lot of questions about the Joust.
Right.
I haven't seen it in years.
I assume that there's horses.
Yes.
You know? But as you say that live on the news, they'll ask you, like, it's very serious, you have to answer this question. And I don't know. I don't know the answers to most of your questions. The first time I was ever interviewed for the Mud Show on live news, I asked ahead of time. I was very nervous. I could hear my heart beating in my ears, and I'd never been on live television before. And I asked the young lady who was asking the questions what she was going to ask me. And she said, generally just this and this and that. And we're live, and she said, "I'm here with Liggity Splickity. Liggity Splickity, that's an interesting name. Where did you get that? Where did you get that name from?" And I was not ready for that question at all. I said, "My brain."
Right. My parents.
Yeah.
What is your name, Kelly?
I
what does that mean?
I can't imagine an entertaining or informative answer.
Right.
You know, if we have just 2 minutes to get a bunch of information across, why are you filling it with the dumbest questions?
Well, because you've prepared for that, you've also been able to do such things like you've also done the news for the newscasters.
There was a time in doing the Michigan Renaissance Festival. Tuggy and I took over because we knew it was gonna be terrible, so we just took the microphone and took over the news. And then the journalist jumped into the mud.
Oh,
it was a lot of fun.
Oh. And then that's how he became Huckleberry Smash, right?
I became Huckleberry Smash, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a different guy.
Oh.
I can see why you made that mistake, though.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're both very tall.
Yes.
See, because we have also been on the news before, and I remember it was also up in Michigan, and they decided since it was raining that we should go into the castle. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 5:30 in the morning, and it was in the castle, and it was empty, and it was raining. It just looked like we were squatting.
Yeah. Which is not far from the truth.
No. That's what I'm going to do this year, I think.
Right.
I'm probably going to do that.
It may be your only option.
It's my own. Well, you know, I'm used to it. They're like, "Hey, Hob, will you start to warm up the breakfast?" Yeah, I'll do that. I'll eat it. But I think... they put us on because we know how to carry a story, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
Like right now.
Yeah. We're doing great. You're having a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little bit of a discussion of what we're going to be discussing, but we're keeping it loosey-goosey and we're sticking to that.
I feel it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stardom was not something that I got into this business for.
No,
it was just the result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did it for the craft. I do it. I'm motivated for the love of the art. You know, and if people think that I'm the best, you know, that's not for me to say. That's for them to say.
All right. When will they start saying that? Soon, right?
That's why I stay off of Facebook.
Mm.
Because I don't want to let my ego, you know, I don't want to be, I assume that's what's being said.
Right. Is there like, on your Facebook page, is there like, can people rate your show?
I don't think I've ever asked.
Oh, should we do that?
Like a scale of 1 to 10 kind of thing?
Well, they have the thing like, you know, on Facebook, like, hey, review, like people review this restaurant or review this business.
Yeah, we should set up a Yelp account.
Oh, of the mud pit itself?
Mm-hmm.
That's mud pit. Really good idea.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Is there like, I think there is even a Yelp restaurant of the Dragon's Den. That restaurant.
The Michigan.
See, now I'm going to look it up. I think there might be. And that's the other thing. So, we have a friend who, he is a professional insulter, and he chooses to use his free time by haranguing local businesses who don't give him enough wasabi paste. I'm teasing. Mostly.
It's a good way to I guess, write, mm-hmm. you know? You'd write reviews, and you get practiced at writing. It's a mm-hmm. good exercise.
Yeah. And also, you get to, like, you know, eat food, I guess. Because he's going to do that anyway. No, it's not on there. For some reason, I thought that was on there.
We'll put it on there.
Well, I'm going to.
Put it on the mud pit.
Put it in the mud pit. How do we do that?
That's a good question.
Hmm. All right. We'll get it.
If you have the answer to this question, please call in.
Call in. Call in right now. What's this button do? I'm on Yelp. Click on a conversation to get started. Well, I don't have anybody to talk to on there. All right. Well, that yielded nothing. Listen. I think we need to be on the news all the time. I think not only the news, but I think just television, really.
There's a job for that. It's a newscaster.
Well, not just there's that part, but then there's also like a game show. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as a game show host?
No.
No?
No.
You can't fathom a time where you will be hosting a game show.
I'm trying to picture it, and nothing's coming up.
No?
It's just a blank.
You don't like games?
I like games.
What's your favorite game?
Hey, who's got my weed?
How's that game usually end?
It usually ends
just out of curiosity. You finding your weed?
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh.
That's how I win. I think the world's ready for this. It's legalized in most of the states that we perform in.
Right.
Right.
I wonder if anybody listens to this high. I can't imagine they do.
I would assume that would be a better way of getting through.
Because I'm a troll. That's a thing that people have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if substances would help or hinder it. Because we do see a lot of, you know, people who have imbibed alcohol mm-hmm. at the Renaissance Festival. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people who just come in just tripping balls.
Is that thing Hop says?
Yeah, I just said it. They're just tripping balls.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That cheered me right up.
They think, you know, like, that dragon ride is actually a dragon. They
have
a good time.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is mm-hmm. you're having a hard time imagining whether people can handle fantasy characters high. I think that's the preferred method of processing that kind of thing.
I guess, but I think they're in their own home.
Like Pete's dragon.
Is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Really?
Pete was so high.
Okay. And then like when Mary Lou Retton was in the lighthouse with Mickey Rooney, they were all high?
Right.
That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
Yeah,
and then
Don't rewatch it.
No?
No. It don't ruin the memory.
Because, let's see. Well, now I'm trying to remember it because there was that guy who was on Grease who died.
John Travolta.
You're close. Jeff Conway.
Okay.
He was one of those fellas. And then the other lady.
Whenever you play this game with me, the famous people's names that are in movies and stuff, have you noticed that I always just agree with you? And I never.
Yeah, because I'm right.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, I'm letting you know.
But I've never known. That's the part of my brain that I damaged in my youth.
Oh no!
It's okay. It was elective. Was the part that retains people who are in movies at their mm-hmm. names, actors and actresses' names. I have never and will never, whether it's music or movies, if I haven't met them personally, it's almost impossible for me to retain. You know, and you're a connoisseur of
why, thank you.
Unique and niche, you know, music and movies and entertainment and stuff. And you pride yourself, it seems like, on knowing names of people who haven't performed in 40 years and pulling their names out of the air. And every time we do this together, you and I, we'll talk about a movie and you'll just start naming names. Mm-hmm. This is this person, this is this person. Every time I just agree with you.
Are you asking me to stop doing that?
No. Okay. I was wondering, I was going to ask you, have you noticed that every time I just go, oh yeah, okay.
No, because I haven't noticed it. I always feel a little bit relieved because it's the one time, you know, it's one of the only times you don't question me. Are you sure, Hob the Troll? Aren't you just making that up? It's a thing you would say.
Right, right. I can name, like, you know, four people who have
acted. Go ahead.
let's see. Brad Pitt.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because we used to get mistaken for each other.
Yep.
Because back when we were in college together. And then there's, I think, Mickey Mouse mm-hmm. is another one. And then Bob Hope was a guy
right.
that was on television.
Yes.
And then did I say Brad Pitt?
You did.
Okay. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Yeah. You also said yesterday that you wish you saw me in a conversation with, who did you say? You said, I would love to see you in a conversation with Al Pacino.
Oh, just because, I think, weren't we at like a store or something and you were just talking? Yeah, I would love to see Al Pacino and Hob the Troll have a very serious conversation.
Right. I think we also were watching Saved by the Bell.
The whole show or
I don't remember.
Right. What a show that was.
Right?
What a terrible show that was.
Who did you identify the most with?
And
you don't have to name the actor or the character, just the, what did they look like?
I wasn't gonna. Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly Kapowski, so yeah. You've named five people.
Well, that's not the actress's name.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Names I can remember because okay. I feel like I know them. They're the ones I have a relationship with.
I see. I understand now. Very good. Yeah. So you identify with Kelly Kapowski?
If I had to pick one character right. out of all of them, it would be Kelly Kapowski.
Because she had so many siblings that were never really seen and they were poor.
Because she was she was the most innocent, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naive.
Big fans of George Michael.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The character,
very attracted to George Michael.
Right.
That's another thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm. But we've been on the news a lot. We've been on television.
Sweet segue.
Yeah.
We have.
If we were in a teen drama, where would that teen drama take place? Would it take place in the school or would it be like the actual Renaissance?
That's a good question. I suppose it could go either way. If it were to be like in a school in the Renaissance,
mm-hmm.
like a high school in the Renaissance, I wouldn't.
Let's talk about that show.
Okay. One of the things I really like about performing in the Renaissance is that it's the rules are either everything's legal
mm-hmm.
all the way up till it's not. And once it's not, you go to prison for life or you're killed. I like that. I like to have a hard and fast line. Like, you know, you could probably murder people. You could probably buy people. You know, you could probably do whatever until you get to that hard and fast line. Like, you cannot do this.
You can't kill any of the king's deals.
Yeah. You can't jump over a fence.
Right.
If it's owned by a rich person. So,
uh-huh.
And then you're dead.
But if you strangle another peasant, you're probably going to be okay.
I was talking with one of my brothers, Huckleberry Smash,
mm-hmm.
about what would our lives be like had not colonization had not happened, had there not been a colonization of North America,
mm-hmm.
which I think is Renaissance enough.
Sure.
Sure. Where would we be now obviously, in this hypothetical, somehow, after hundreds of years of altered timeline, we still get born, even though that makes no sense.
Right.
So in this hypothetical, it's still us. Yes. We're still born. We're still like, I look like me and I have my mind and everything. But what would our lives look like? And I guessed that I would probably live in Southern Ireland, and I would hop over to England every now and then so that I could mug people in the harbor towns and then jump back over to Ireland because I would have warrants.
Yeah.
That's probably what my life would look like.
See, I'd be king of the trolls.
If it wasn't for colonization.
Right, right, yeah. I'd be king of the trolls.
When did European colonization affect your timeline, your family's timeline?
That's a personal question. I can't answer that.
It was European colonization that disrupted your family's timeline towards you just being a bridge troll.
Uh-huh.
And not being king of the trolls.
Right.
Oh, man, we need to do a podcast about that.
Here we are. Yeah. Because there's another guy, Ick. I think he just bought a crown. I don't remember. Like, he's not on all money. Mm-hmm. Like, troll money. Mm-hmm. You'd think that if he was the king of the trolls, that he'd be on some currency. I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. If you could pick who's on the currency, who would you pick?
Me.
Okay. And that'd be like which bill?
And all of them. I wouldn't have to have ID.
That'd get confusing. It's like a smart idea.
Well, it would be like...
Why do you need ID for cash?
I don't know. But what I was thinking is like I would have a different facial expression for each bill.
Okay. So and this is a 5 and this is a 10.
Right. You could see, like the higher the denomination, the happier I am.
Right. You sound like a...
An idea man?
An idea man, yeah. You sound like a iron-fisted dictator.
No, absolutely not.
What kind of megalomaniac would put his face on all the bills? It would take a sick individual.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, if we're talking about this alternate history universe, mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of people then, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All of those famous people that I name off and stuff like that, all those names go out the window because I don't know them anymore.
Right.
The only people I know are me and one other person who just said that they want to rob people on the docks.
I'm not saying I want to. I'm saying that that's probably what would
happen. Right, and I'm saying...
In these two hypothetical worlds,
yes.
I made myself... pretty close to a mudbagger, a common thief.
Yep.
You made yourself king.
King of the trolls.
On all the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just said troll money, too. Like, it's not just, like, regular people money.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where's troll money accepted?
Nowhere. It's a real problem. The exchange rate is terrible.
Right.
But fortunately, I could just make more. So, like...
You'd rather have rupees.
Right.
Like, give me some pesos.
Yeah. It like, I just find out, okay, what's the current exchange rate for dollars to troll dollars? And I'm like, okay, it's $1 for every 5 troll dollars. I'm like, okay, I'll be right back. Do you guys, is there an office depot here?
You just print some more troll dollars.
Yeah.
Right? 1 to 5 is not bad.
No.
1 to 5. That's much better than a lot of other currencies are right now. My brother, Huckleby Smash, and I just went to Mexico recently. And got to get really used to the exchange rate really fast, which was 19, at the time we were there, 19.3 pesos to 1 American dollar.
Mm-hmm.
1 US dollar. And so when we would go out into the market, into the open-air markets that they have there, which are wonderful as far as culture goes. I've never understood why people would want to vacation on cruise ships, which go out of their way to take you to other countries, but you don't actually go into the other countries.
No.
Like, immersing yourself into the culture is a lot of fun, like not knowing the language and trying to figure it out, trying to figure out how the money works and how the transit system works. It's a lot of fun. And we found that the calculator was the universal language.
Ah.
And you say, how much for this fanny pack? I was really into getting a fanny pack when I was there.
It looks great.
And they wrote down, you know, they would say into the, they would punch into the calculator the number, the amount that they want in pesos, and then hand me the calculator. I'd quickly do the math to U.S. dollars, and then start the negotiation by dividing that in half, and then converting that back to pesos, and then showing them the back and forth like that. Then they do their part, which is they laugh, and then they show their friends the number that I wrote down, and then their friends laugh, and show it to their wives, and their wives laugh. And
well, you know what? Commerce is all about family.
It is. It is. It was that way for everything that you bought there. It was great. Whether it was a fanny pack, we got shoes, the shorts that I just gave you that you're wearing right now.
I feel very fashionable.
The tequila, it's you're not allowed to drink the water, you know, so you're stuck with few options. And the tequila is like the cost of water here in the States, which is really nice. The blue agave and everything, and then you know, whatever drugs you want, you know, everybody's really excited to. Everyone wants to be your best friend. They're like, hey, what do you need? What do you got? What do you want? What do you got? You want to take a look at this? You want to see this shirt changes color in the sun? You want some marijuana? You want cocaine? What do you want? You want to see my sister? Somebody said that. Somebody said that as I was walking by trying to, you know, eyes straight forward, taking care of business. They're hawking at me, which I feel like the Renaissance Festival, people who hawk have a lot to learn, should go spend a little bit of time in Mexico.
Now, let's talk about that instead of what you were saying. Now I'm going to say what I imagine that they would yell out in I'm not going to say it in Spanish, and I'm not going to use a Spanish accent.
Well, they would say it to me in English because they saw my lily white skin and my blonde hair and my fanny pack, and they would go, you know, they'd just write to English.
Since I've worked so many Renaissance festivals, I know that the best way to sell anything is to make it as filthy as possible.
Yeah, turn it into, so no matter what the product
give
is.
Give me a thing that you could buy in Mexico, and I will translate that into how someone would sell that at a Renaissance festival.
Oh, a leather horse saddle.
It's a lot of fun to ride. Also, we have saddles.
Okay, good.
That's the thing that someone would yell out at the Renaissance Festival.
Nice. What's the word for pretend name brand things that are like not real, but
fake
name brand. Yeah. Oakleys and
counterfeit.
Yeah, counterfeit Rolexes and
let's see. Counterfeit sunglasses. 'Cause you're so ugly. Welcome to the Renaissance.
Okay. Tickets to visit a Mayan ruin inflated by 5 times what the actual cost of the ticket is. So the ticket's $25 if you just go there and get it.
Right.
But they're selling it to you for $175 or
free beer. Dead Bob show. Here comes Mr. Weddums. See, these are all things that I've seen work very successfully. Mm-hmm. People yell them out, and they are well attended.
There was a bench in front of this random building. We did a lot of walking and
random bench.
Bench, and in the middle of the bench is like a copper or something structure, a statue of a Mexican man with a gun and a sombrero, and he's like resting on this bench, and then there's a place to sit on the left and right of him.
Have a siesta.
Yeah. And Huckleby and I were walking by. It was about 1:30 in the morning, and we were in a neighborhood we probably shouldn't have been in, but we're walking by and we saw this little girl who is, I always have to say, like 7 years old, maybe 8, kind of sitting next to the statue of a resting bandito. And she, when I pointed her out, she heard me say, you know, hey, check that out. And she perked up and she kind of like jumped up and ran over and tried to sell us necklaces. And, and it was so intense. It was so intense.
I think I speak for everyone listening that I am relieved that is where that story went. Because sharp-eared listeners have heard some stories with you that could go either way.
Yeah. Keep them on their toes. Keep them on their toes.
How did you buy necklaces?
We were saving our money for prostitutes. We could not spare. We had counted and we had withdrawn the exact amount of money we would need.
Well,
is that what you meant?
Yeah, I did. That's what I meant. Because what you could have done is you could have bought one of the necklaces and given it to the lady of the evening as a gift.
Right.
Because that's always a nice thing to do, I've been told.
Only one way to find out.
All right. Well, that's a good enough place to stop. We thank you for joining us on the Hobcast, everybody.
Is that it?
Yeah, Lickety, where can we find you?
Right now, you could find me at Hooters for lunch.
No.
In Clearwater, Florida, the birthplace of Hooters. I'm not working it. I'm just eating there. You can find me at Hob the Troll's house, where I've been couch surfing for the last week because I ran out of toilet paper at home. And until the Michigan Renaissance Festival comes around, I am officially a regular homeless person, not a fake, I'm pretending to be homeless for money person that I do it, character I do at work.
Right.
But that will be in August?
Yeah.
Okay. I say it with a question mark after 15 years of doing that show, because I still don't know when it happens. August?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll be there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You better be.
I will. Here, you know what, though? You were talking about... we're going to keep going a little bit longer just because you mentioned Hooters.
You guys were so close. You were so close to being done with this.
That's fine. It's a short episode. They're not gonna be. Remember when I used to do like 2-hour episodes and no one listened to? Remember that?
Yes.
Now I have a 45-minute show episode that nobody listens to, which is fine. But you said something
the other day, I want
this to be on record so that everyone attributes this great joke to you.
Ah, yes.
And you were talking about Hooters.
Yeah, well, I was speaking with somebody from the great state of Wisconsin, which is a place I'm every summer. I like to hang out in Wisconsin. I've done that show there for years and years. I love that place. But I've been finding, being a native Floridian, that people get really free and loose with making fun of Florida. There's a lot of, you'll see in the mainstream media, a lot of people, comedians in particular, finding an easy laugh by making fun of the state of Florida. I was speaking with somebody who did that during a conversation, saw a picture of something ridiculous and was like, oh, must be Florida.
I'm touching.
To which I said, I don't remember. Do you guys have a Hooters in Wisconsin? To which she said, yeah, I think so. I said, well, then you don't get to make fun of Florida until you get rid of that Hooters.
That's a good point.
You can't have both. You can't have that. You can't have that ridiculous restaurant as a state and still get to make fun of the state of Florida. Come on, you lose the Hooters and then you're free to make all the jokes you want. But as long as you're cashing in,
yes,
on that sweet Florida magic,
yes,
then you don't get it both ways. You know, either enjoy the Bennies or get rid of it, and then you make all the jokes you want.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
That's very fair. And that's where we're going to end it.
Okie dokie.
All right. Because, that's a good piece of business. We go out in a joke, and there we go. All right. Goodbye, everybody. I'm going to talk over the end of the song.
See you, Michigan.
Hob the Troll presents the Hobcast, produced by Steve O'Dockerson and Steve Hager. Our webmaster is April Janowski. Today's episode featured special guest Lickety Splickety and Dan Fox from the Splatter Time Players. Follow the Splatter Time Players on Instagram. Hob's theme song is by Corey Eno Ruffin. Like Hob the Troll on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Hob the Troll. And go to hobthetroll.com and click on the donate button to keep this show going.
Speaking of that, I was thinking about doing a Patreon page. Because you could just... Because I know what you're always wondering is, Hob the Troll, how can I give you money when you're not directly in front of my face? And I think the Patreon is the right way to do that, because I'm working on a new album, ladies and gentlemen. Working on a new album that I've been recording for a while, and it's going real well. And now that I got a little bit more motion behind it, I thought I'd let you all know about it, kind of be part of it as I'm recording it. How about that? So I'm going to be starting a Patreon page, and you can pledge different amounts of monies and get different kinds of things, like exclusive songs. I will record songs personally for you. I will call your friends after being inebriated. I'm not that now. Feels like I am. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe. Goodbye for now.